Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Hold it.
Here's John Williams.
Do apologies count as big thoughts? Hi, it's John. It's 109. Here until 3 o'clock in the Allstate.
Lord have mercy.
Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I sure appreciate you tuning in. Lots to cover on the show today. But first, tell me if you've ever been in this position before, and then I'll tell you if I was earlier today. Kim, you may be interested in this story. So there I was parking my powerful Mach 5 in the spot that I have in the Tribune parking lot. And Andrea Darlis's car was to my right, and I wanted to give her enough space to get in and out. And so even though I wasn't using the passenger door, I left some room there. And as I did, I realized that now I'm straddling the line on the left, the driver's side. But nobody was in that space on my left. So I thought, well, I don't have to worry about that too much. Maybe that person won't come or go while my car is parked here. But it was going to make it that our cars were going to be parked probably close together because I was straddling the left-hand side. And just as I was sort of thinking about that, having put the car in that spot, the next car rolls in to my left. And I think, oh, this is awkward because they're in an SUV and it's taking up a lot of the space. And now I see them allowing enough room for me to get out. They've had to move over to the left side of their parking spot, which puts them right up next to the WGN radio van. So I got out of my car and I looked and it's the very thin Kim Gordon. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to pull my car back out? We can do this all over again. And she said, no, that's all right. It helps that, you know, I can squish through here. And so I felt pretty bad about that. I suppose we've all had those moments, though, where you're making that decision about, well, am I going to see that next person? Maybe the next person will be getting out. You don't even think about it, or maybe you just choose to hope that maybe the person will not even use that spot to your left when you straddle a line like that. It was not touching the line, but I was closer than I should have been, and now poor Kim was paying the price. The cars are kind of dirty, and there she is shushing in between them, and I felt bad about that, Steve.
Well, Kim was paying the price while you were there, but your car is paying the price now.
Well, I don't know if there's a lot of things that can happen in a situation like this, and that is, you're right, that's retribution. So if the person maybe is in a beater and they don't care about their door, they could punish your door with theirs. You know, they could just open up the passenger side and slam me if they wanted, or the driver's side if it was all happening over there. Or they could come by with a ball-peen hammer later on if they wanted to just tune my car up a little bit that way.
So we were just talking about in 35 years, no one will own a car. They'll all be sort of ride shares.
Yeah.
We'll summon one. No parking. There's no need to park.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thought. I kind of like the sound of that.
Yeah.
More and more all the time. It also made me think, though, I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting scene in a movie, right? Maybe that's where the two couples or the two people get out, and then they have that awkward encounter, or maybe somebody's angry and they fly off the handle. The scene that I've often thought, and I haven't seen this in a movie yet, Steve, but I've often thought this would be a good opening scene to a movie. I've got a lot of great opening scenes to movies. I just don't have the part that follows the opening scenes. But in this case, a guy who is new to town is driving along the road, and he's not exactly sure where he's going because he's new to town. Should I make a left here? And as a result, he's going a little slower. Maybe he's looking at his map on his phone. But the guy behind him knows the route, and he's really getting angry. And so he's honking at him, and he finally swerves around him and cuts him off. And there's a little road rage as he gives him a fist or something. And then the car peels off, and that guy thinks, oh, what a jerk that guy is. And then the guy who's new to town pulls up in the driveway of his new house, and lo and behold, the guy that cut him off and gave him the finger is his neighbor. And they're both kind of getting out of their cars at the same time, and they look at each other, and they realize that that was them, and now they got to live next to each other. And it turns out then he's single, and she's a recent divorcee, and they have great sex. Or it could be that, I don't know where that story goes. But isn't that a kind of interesting meeting of the minds, too? I don't know if that's been in a movie yet, but I'm telling you, I think that would be a great opening scene to a movie. Because we've all been at least at the place where we have the road rage. But I've never had an incident where somebody does that to me, and I, lo and behold, look and I go, wait, that's Bob. Hey, Bob, what are you doing? It's me, John. Has that ever happened? How do you repair that moment? Because you really feel angry at that person, or you really feel like I don't deserve this, right? Just wondering. Did you see what the temperature is going to be in Phoenix today? 119 degrees. 119 degrees. In Sacramento, they're going to set a record temperature. In San Jose, they're going to set a record temperature. In San Francisco, they're going to set a record temperature. Sacramento will hit 107 degrees, or did, a step hotter than its 106-degree record in 1988. It could get even hotter Wednesday. There it'll hit 109, they say. Right now it's about 108 in Phoenix. It's supposed to go up and peak at about 4 o'clock in Phoenix at 119 degrees. It is so warm there that at the Phoenix International Airport, the planes can't take off. I have not thought about this phenomenon before, but when the air is...
The tires will melt?
It's the air is too thin when it's that hot, and you need a very long runway, and they worry that the planes won't be able to take off. They'll keep going and going and going and going and going, but the air is so thin at 108 degrees that they need the air to be cooler. They say they can't fly if the temperature is warmer than 117. Imagine that, looking at the thermometer, seeing it go 117, 118. Oop, we can't take off. It's too hot to fly in Phoenix today. American Airlines has canceled 50 flights. It says the weather could be more cancellations later today, Tuesday. 7 flights were canceled due to weather yesterday when the temperature reached 118, rounding out the total to 50 weather-related cancellations in 2 days. I don't have a number for cancellations at Phoenix's Sky Harbor Airport today. Too hot to fly. But don't worry, we don't need to sign the Paris Climate Accord or abide by it, because it's just going up a little teeny bit, the temperature. So they're voting in Atlanta today. Don't have a temperature there for you right now. But look at this. They say that both Ossoff and Handel have 49% in a poll. A poll with a 4.5% margin of error. But just 2% of the voters, they say, in that 6th congressional district in Georgia are undecided. They're spending $50 million on campaign advertising and other promotions in the 6th congressional district of Georgia. $50 million. Each congressional district has about 700,000 people. That means if you said for a family of four, we'll just give you the cash and not bother you with these robocalls, you could have given every family their $285. $285 campaign ads. $285 campaign ads. I would take the $285.
Well, that would be illegal because that would be bribery.
Like $50 million in advertising isn't a prettier version of that?
That's persuasion. It's a big race.
It's obscene.
It's a big race until the next one.
Yeah, until the next. Right. Because Montana was a big race and Missouri was a big race, or was it Kansas?
Yeah, but they always did say that this is a big race, because this is a race that is a safely Republican congressional seat. Tom Price, I think.
Right, Tom Price went to be Health and Human Service Secretary.
This is Newt Gingrich's seat. You know, he used to hold this seat when
he was in
Congress.
I think that's a misrepresentation. I don't mean to cut you off, Steve, but I mean, well, it is a big deal, and it has long been a congressional seat held by Republicans, including Newt Gingrich. But it's also an affluent area that skews more blue than the typical Georgia congressional district.
So let me finish. So it's a longtime Republican seat, but it's one where Hillary Clinton did better than the Republican congressman there traditionally. So the Democrats nearly won at the presidency but lost at the congressional level.
Trump did not do great in this district.
These are the seats that if the Democrats want to take control of the Congress, this is the seat. This type of makeup are the seats that they have to win. So if they can't win this today with all of the news around Donald Trump that there is, it's would be a bad sign for them in the future.
You know what may be helping the Republicans in this race? Karen Handel is the ambush of the Republican members of Congress baseball practice last week. Since then, when they did a survey, I'll just read you the line here. It says, the race is tightening. A landmark poll released Friday showed Ossoff with a 2-point lead with a margin of error of with a 2-point lead within the margin of error. His lead among women, double digits in the firm's last poll, is at about 7 points now. So it's getting tighter and tighter. Here it is. The poll of 500 likely voters was conducted on Monday, the first taken since last week's ambush of Republican lawmakers, and threatening letters that were sent to Handel and several of her neighbors. I didn't know about that. But they said that more Republicans now say that they're likely to vote. More Republicans now say that they are likely to vote because of the shooting at the baseball practice.
Well, there also was an ad, right? And I, honestly, I didn't look at it.
The Obama one?
No, this was one that they used the shooting. It was an anti-Ossoff ad by an outside group and used the shooting to urge people to vote against him.
Isn't that shameless? Isn't that shameful? That's just terrible. I would not try and use that as a lever. My goodness.
That's what bothers me. The amount of money doesn't bother me, but it's some of the tactics like that.
All right, but here's the problem that I have with all of this money spent anyway. I mean, I say it's obscene only because $15 million is a lot of money and what any of us wouldn't do for that, right? It's a job that pays $175,000 a year. I know that's irrelevant, but it bothers me. That money is not being generated locally. That's not local businesses saying, I so want Ossoff or Handel that I'm going to go ahead and commit my own resources to make sure they get elected. It's all coming from outside. It's coming from Hollywood. It's coming from super PACs. It's coming from any place but there. They don't have that kind of money around there. No congressional district does.
Well, Chicago builds Navy Pier so people from around the country come and spend their money here. In Georgia, they just got an election where people around the country are going and spending their money there.
If you were a radio station, newspaper, TV, I don't know, website, maybe you're benefiting from this. I mean, that is advertising. The money is being spent. But what it is it's outside influence. That's not the people locally putting their money or their minds into the election. It is somebody else outside trying to influence them. Oh. And they do not have the best interest of that district in mind when they spend that money. They're trying to use it for their consideration outside the district. And that's what bothers me. Bothers me when it happens in Chicago. Your witness.
Well, I don't know that they don't have the best interest or what they feel is the best interest for the district at hand on either side. And while they can spend money to try to persuade people, it's only the people who live inside the boundaries who can make the decision and who are voting today. Mm-hmm. Preliminary voting or early voting was up 150% when compared to the primary just a few weeks ago.
You're speaking about the Georgia 6th?
Yeah. So...
Look, let me ask you this.
It's a big, 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 big vote. The Republicans in the House are going to be, you know, scared to death, or the Senate are going to be scared. If the Republican loses here, it will have a big impact, likely, on what kind of health care bill comes out. So there are national implications, and because not because of one vote, but because of how other congressmen feel they might be treated.
Well, it was one vote on the health bill.
Well, in the Senate it was. Sure, Scott Brown won in Massachusetts, and that made a big deal. Oh, you mean in the House vote that just happened?
Yeah. Wasn't it one vote in the House?
It was close.
Made the determination? Oh, yeah, it wasn't that. It wasn't one, but it was a handful. It was a single digit.
Right.
Okay, but I think fundamentally I really disagree with you. I know that the vote of any congressman affects not only their district, but people all across the country. All of us have a vested interest that way in the 6th. But I thought the idea was that each individual district makes its voice known. And we collectively all agree to live with that.
Okay.
Otherwise, the team with the most money in commercials would win. And it's not about who has the most money that should win, who has the most influence that should win. It's who has the most people that feel a certain way. Let me ask you this. If you spent no dollars and I spent $10,000, do you think I would have a better chance of persuading people that my side is right? So it becomes a battle of money then, doesn't it? It becomes a battle of outside interests with money trying to influence those people there. I know they get to vote, but I think that there is something to the power of persuasion, and that comes from money.
I'm pretty sure Donald Trump was outspent in the presidential election, wasn't he? I mean, I'm not trying to be smart here. I'm not positive. I'm pretty sure he was.
Say he was. What is your point?
So that the money doesn't always have the result of.
What would you rather be, the guy with zero money or the guy with $10,000 to try and influence people?
Well, I'd rather have the money to spend.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Look at it a different way. So you're saying outside people shouldn't come in and exercise their authority over a district, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the person who wins in that district, let's pick John McCain.
Somebody call me, 312-981-7200. Tell me I'm right. Go ahead, Steve.
So let's say John McCain in Arizona. Now, it's only the voters in Arizona who pick John McCain, right?
Sure.
But he comes to Washington and then is the chair of the Armed Services Committee or whatever and makes huge decisions that impact all of us, right? So one guy chosen by only one state then makes decisions that impacts the entire United States. That's a reverse of what we're talking about here. So why shouldn't we be able to influence local elections?
No, because I think the determination of how John McCain got that job should be left locally. And if you don't like that, then you need to find somebody else in your district to take his job. I think it's a local decision.
And I feel like if I don't like the way John McCain runs his committee, I should have a say in whether or not he's elected. I don't get a vote, but I can contribute to his opponent.
I love a parade. Just wanted to check the president's Twitter account on this topic. He tweeted earlier today, Democrat John Ossoff, who wants to raise your taxes to the highest level and is weak on crime and security, does not even live in the district. Trump says that he can't vote in the race that he's running in because he doesn't live there. I'll double check on that.
He can see it from where he lives. It's interesting. So what's the most important thing in that tweet? Because Ossoff has said repeatedly that he would oppose any increase in income taxes.
Yeah.
So when the president says he wants to raise your taxes, you know, that's a hard one to prove or not prove. He says he would not. Easier to prove where he lives. He does not live in the district. He lives. His fiance is a medical student at Emory University, so he lives 2 miles away from the district. He grew up in the district and says he would move back to it should he win, which is not unusual. I mean, there often are candidates. It's not helpful to a candidacy,
right?
But it's not unusual that there are candidates who run from outside. A lot of times when districts are redrawn to try to draw a woman or man out of the district that they hold.
I've seen this happen.
You know, so then they'll run and then move into the district again if they win.
That's kind of weird, though. I mean, you know how. Listen, I know a little bit about what a hassle it is to move. If your district got redrawn and now you've got to move into the district again, that would be a very difficult thing.
Yeah, and that's not the case in Ossoff.
No.
He lives with his fiance, apparently. And
outside the district.
Yeah, and he says he wants to be near her to support her during her days in medical school.
Yeah.
Well, unless they live in a dorm, I think they could live 2 miles away. You know, it'd still be in the district.
Well, but in that case, the president's... scores.
I guess so. Yeah, he does score. But
if we're fact-checking it, his post, Democrat John Ossoff, who wants to raise your taxes
incorrect.
To the highest level. Well, that's just blah, 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 blah.
Well,
and is weak on crime and security. I'm sorry, Steve. I know that's...
I mean, one's more factual than the other, but...
does not live in the district.
He says he would oppose any increase in the income tax.
Yeah.
So...
Well, according to this thing here, it says he wants to raise your taxes
right. so
to the highest level.
So you give him a pass with that.
I am not real wound up about campaign rhetoric.
Okay.
If you get elected, then I want you to start telling the truth. But campaign rhetoric generally doesn't bother me. This is interesting. This texter says, I'm sorry. I know. That's the worst.
I'm going to go beat my head against the
wall. Oh, I know.
Here.
You and my sons. Hey, John, Durbin and Duckworth fighting to save Obamacare helps me here in Michigan. Of course I will send them a few dollars. John, as a citizen, we are free to donate to our choice. Citizens United allows corporate money to buy candidates. Well, by ad floods, that is not fair. I tend to agree. Trump did not spend money that he just manipulated the press for free coverage. Yeah, he's good at that. King John is right on. This one says, I agree. Let's pick up a couple of phone lines here. Let's go to line 3. That is Bob. This is John. You're on the air, Bob. What did you want to say?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, you're talking about the money usually, you know, can buy you what you want or what your result is that you want. But Trump proved that wrong. But I think there's so many people that are tired of the Clintons, especially Hillary. She should, if she just started serving her time, she'd have a year under her belt. Right? That woman should still.
Okay, hold on a second. Hey, Bob, I know. Should still be in prison. What? I shouldn't go down this road.
I'm serious.
But I'm just going to for a second. Please don't hang up. Okay, so why should Hillary be in jail, just real quick?
She's a thief.
Okay, fine. In the case of people donating money from outside a district, should they or should they not be doing that?
No.
Okay, that's all I need to hear from you. Bobby, thanks for the call. It's 1:32. Hey, Bill, this is John. You're on the air. What did you want to say?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, you got the same situation in the state of Illinois with Mike Madigan. He lives in a district.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Him in office, and yep. He totally controls the finances of the state.
If you think that Illinois is screwed up because Mike Madigan is in office, then you would like to see the rest of us be able to influence his getting elected or not elected. And everybody in the state goes, oh, Madigan, oh, Madigan, oh, Madigan. But a little teeny percentage of people right in that spot think that he's their guy and they want him to continue to represent them. I wonder if those people feel a little. Do you ever wonder this, Steve, the people that vote for Madigan every year? I wonder if they ever feel a little burden or a little responsibility, a little like, oh, maybe we should rethink this, even though the garbage gets picked up on time.
You mean when they go to their job at City Hall?
Maybe. John Williams here. Maybe this is government getting too big. Maybe this is an idea whose time has come. Dateline Denver. There's an effort to stop the sale of smartphones to children younger than 13. It's not going to be a bill before the legislature. It'll be a ballot initiative. If they get enough signatures, then when they go to the polls, you'll be able to vote by your own vote right then and there. If it'll be illegal for a 12-year-old to buy a smartphone. It will also be illegal for an adult to buy a smartphone for the child if it is known that that is who the intended recipient is. It won't be illegal for the kid to use a smartphone, but it will be illegal for them to purchase one or for their parents to purchase one for them. There's this guy named Dr. Timothy Farnham. It's his idea. He's a board-certified anesthesiologist in Denver at St. Anthony's Hospital. He said that when kids get those phones in their hands, tell me if this sounds familiar, they go from being outgoing, energetic, interested in the world, and happy to reclusive. They want to spend all their time in their room. They lose interest in outside activities. So let's make it harder for him to do that. The good doctor's on the line. Doctor, this is John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You sound tired. Is this what's the response been to this?
I think, when people hear about it, there's two camps. Either people are very enthusiastically for it or they think it's a government overreach and an intrusion into a parent's rights.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of both. Initiative 29. Yeah. When will this? When do Coloradans get a chance to see this on? First, you got to get enough signatures for it to be on the ballot. Is that it?
Yeah, we need roughly 100,000 signatures, and I don't think it'll be a lot of work, legwork going out, but. I think that shouldn't be a problem. So it wouldn't be on the ballot till November of 2018, but it'll be interesting. There's been a couple of polls on the local news radios, and it's pretty close to 50-50. So I think it has a good chance of passing.
Yeah. And then am I correct in saying that you won't keep kids from using smartphones? So if a 10-year-old is using a smartphone, that'll still be legal. It's just going to be illegal for them to buy one. Why not go all out and say the kids can't even use the dang things?
Well, I think, first off, we wanted to get something in the books because there's no restrictions anywhere in the United States. Kind of to appease the whole parents' rights, movement. I agree with that. I've always had kind of libertarian, very conservative views. And I get that. And it really comes down to a question of how much harm is being done. And, if you really think there's not a lot of harm, then, vote against it. That's fine. But I think a lot of, psychologists have studied this enough that there's a lot of support in that community for something to be done. They're not necessarily fans of legislation either, but
yeah.
There has to be something done. This whole generation is just they're hooked on electronics.
You know, my brother lives in your state, and he was telling me he lives in Denver. He may attend your hospital someday, and he said that he and his son were camping. They were at a campsite. His son's a teenager. He's over the age of 13. This wouldn't apply. But it really kind of bugged Mark because Alec, his son, was sitting there on a log and he had his phone out and he had his head down at the campsite looking at something on his phone. Yeah. And my brother was like, would you please put the phone down? We're in a forest.
Yeah.
And that's annoying. But I also, what I don't know is it harmful? You know, I don't know how I wouldn't be surprised if somebody could prove to me that this is somehow hurting us. But I'm not clear on that.
Well, I mean, I heard a great comparison to big tobacco and kind of at the beginning of, you know, the 50s and early 60s when, you know, the science was coming out that it was harmful. You know, the first thing they did was they, you know, hired their own experts and concluded that it wasn't harmful.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing that in some respects, you know, there's been a few studies that, you know, are highly touted that show that, you know, kids that are in video games can, you know, put certain letters together more quickly. And but there's about, by some estimates, about 20 to 1 showing harmful effects rather than beneficial. But,
yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. And I hope that people heed that or hear that, even if they don't pass a law to restrict kids from using their phones. Here's, do me this favor, Dr. Timothy Farnham's on a phone line, anesthesiologist in Denver. He's the guy behind this initiative in Colorado to make it illegal to sell smartphones to kids 13 and under. You like that idea or you don't? I just want to get your feedback. This is John Williams. By the way, speaking of your smartphones, tomorrow is selfie day. Sorry. Isn't every day selfie day?
I was going to say, what day is not a selfie day?
In honor of that, I'm asking you to send me your best selfie. I haven't seen Steve's yet, via Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Just tag me and include the hashtag King John Rules Selfie Day to your caption. We'll pick one we like the best and give some prizes to. Lou Malnati's pizzas, tickets to Sycamore Speedway, stuff like that. On Instagram, I'm now WGN John Williams. I posted my selfies yesterday. On Twitter, I'm WGN King John. On Facebook, I'm at King John. Wish I was the same on all of those, but there it is. Search for me on your favorite platform. Post a selfie. I want to see what you look like. It's 1:52. We'll give prizes to the one we like the most on tomorrow's show. Dr. Timothy Farnham is an anesthesiologist in Denver, and he's the guy behind an initiative there. In 2018, if they get enough signatures, you'll be able to vote, and it will be illegal for anybody under the age of 13 to buy a smartphone. He says we're losing kids. By the way, doctor, what's the thing that bothers you the most about kids on smartphones? What do you see? What worries you the most?
I mean, one thing, that's a tough one. I mean, the developmental problems are huge. You know, the access to, pornography and all that that entails. You know, the increase in suicides, the general disconnectedness that the young people have today, and the health risks. I don't know. I don't have a favorite, I guess. They're all bad. But maybe maybe my own kids, just how addicted they were, you know.
Oh, really? How old are your kids, if I may?
I have my oldest is almost 20, and my youngest will be 12 in a month. So.
Oh, he's loving this. Thanks a lot, Dad.
Yeah. They. When I first told them about what I was doing, they were very against, you know, the idea.
Well, then it's a good idea. I want to take a couple calls with you. Let's start with Lori. Go ahead, Lori. You're on WGN. What's your question or comment?
Overall, I agree with what he's saying. I'm a real adamant person about, you know, when I see people, well, I can't get my kid to do this. I'm a firm one with, well, you do it because you do it. My kids are 24 and 21, and they still do stuff just because we tell them to. But my oldest daughter, the 24-year-old, is a type 1 diabetic, has been since she was 6. And we got her a cell phone at age 12 because at that point she was kind of venturing out on her own. And if her sugars dropped or she got sick, she needed a way to contact us. Since that time, they've made advancements where they have what are called continuous glucose monitors.
Right.
that work with an app on, right now, an iPhone. I don't think it works with an Android phone yet.
Hold on one second, Lori, but let me just ask him this on your behalf. I mean, are you carving out exceptions? Would a kid like hers be able to buy a smartphone?
Well,
that's a good question. I mean, they certainly could have it. There's nothing against kids or parents in this. Perhaps that would be something to add, would be the allowance in that case. But again, it's just on the retailer to sell the device and not necessarily.
Yeah, it's not illegal to use one, but it is also illegal to buy one for the purpose of giving it to the kids. So I think you do have a problem there, particularly if my 11-year-old is going to a sleepover or they're going to the game at school and I want them to call for a ride or have a smartphone as a safety precaution. I mean, I can see all the instances where, however well-intended this is, it would run into problems.
Well, cell phones are specifically not included. It's mentioned in that.
Smartphones, so. Where the video is. Maybe in Colorado, then, you're going to have to get a cell phone for your kid to use.
Right, old-fashioned cell phone.
That's not such a bad idea, though. I mean, if you think about that, if the reason you want your kid is to be able to call for help or whatever, one of those flip phones where they, if they want to spell, have to hit the numbers three times. Those do work. Lori, thanks for your call. Aaron, you go next. You're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Hi, I'm a teacher, and I was calling to say that I think the ballot initiative is a good one because I see the negative effects of kids being on cell phones too much every day.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. Do your kids have the phones in the classroom?
Is creeping into their writing. For example, sometimes they will try to spell words in text lingo rather than actually writing out the complete words. So because they'll say like B/C, and when they're allowed to be on their cell phones, they choose to be on it rather than socializing, which has hurt their ability to communicate with one another.
What grade do you teach?
I teach second through fifth grade, but right now I'm teaching sixth graders kids going into sixth grade for summer school, and they bring their cell phones with them, and the second they're allowed to be on them, they'll turn them on and get right to work on them.
And not interact with their classmates either.
Correct. And so when we're doing things like group work, we've actually had to go back and teach some of those skills about how to communicate with one another because they've lost that ability to do so in a lot of instances.
Another story. Lisa, great call. I'm glad you joined us. Thanks for picking up the phone. And, Doctor, I'm out of time, but let's you and I visit again. It'll be interesting to follow this here in Illinois.
All right. I'll give you a call back. Thanks for having me again. And hi to anybody in Chicago who, some of my friends out there. So.
That's right. You attended school at Loyola, right?
Did my residency there.
Dr. Timothy Farnham, done good. Ryan Burrow has been reporting for ABC News about this other story we've been talking about. Otto Warmbier, the American student traveling on a tour organized by a company called Young Pioneer Tours, returned to the United States a few days ago, has passed away. So what sort of recourse does the United States have then, Ryan? I mean, what can we even do about
that? We don't have a lot of dealings right now with North Korea. It's not like we can jump on a flight from O'Hare and land in North Korea. That's just not how it works. As we learned here in the Young Pioneer Tours, he flew to Beijing, and at that point, that's when the tour began. And this is usually focused at younger people who are looking for a cheap thrill.
Is China saying anything about this? Are they criticizing North Korea's handling of it?
It's been interesting. We did just get this from President Trump, and he just tweeted this out. He said, "While I greatly appreciate the efforts of President Xi and China to help with North Korea, it has not worked out. At least I know China tried." And we've seen this kind of dialogue between President Trump and China saying essentially, we're going to put the pressure on them. China understands how serious this guy in North Korea is and our issues with him. And as a result, I just want to, say that they're trying. But on the other hand, whatever they did, it wasn't enough.
It's insane to think that in this day and age, and I know there's crazy people on earth, right? But think about that, that if you steal a political poster from a wall in North Korea.
And keep in mind, allegedly stole. I mean, we don't know that this may not have been planted on him because they saw an American.
Well, that was the point I was making.
Oh, okay.
If you're an American, no, but fair enough. I mean, yeah, if you're an American, you have to be so on guard because you might be the object of somebody's something like that. But if he had a case of them, if he was stealing a case of them, I don't care. There he is with one poster, though. 15 years is the sentence for that?
Yeah.
And, of course, in this case, it's a capital crime. I mean, they, what it appears to be, they killed the poor kid.
Yeah. And will the coroner now has possession of Otto Warmbier's body, so maybe we'll get a little bit more information than what we got from doctors initially about the respiratory arrest and the you know, neurological issues that he was having, the fact that he couldn't talk. We'll see if maybe there's some kind of trauma they can point to or some moment or at least a time frame that will help them understand what happened.
We don't do a lot of trade with North Korea. We don't do any trade with North Korea. So it's not like we can roll. Somebody earlier said roll up economic sanctions. That's not an option.
There is one option the State Department can take. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson can ban all travel of Americans to North Korea. Now, there's not a lot of that going on, but there are still tour groups like Young Pioneer Tours that does allow Americans to come. So that is one thing up their sleeve. But I mean, we're talking, you know, probably not that many tourists.
And this isn't the best day to make this point, but really, the more we do have cultural or tour exchanges with the people of North Korea and Russia and China and Canada, the better it is for everybody.
That was the goal with Cuba, right? That was the idea that, the more Americans that travel to Cuba, the more Americans can spread capitalism and get into the stores and restaurants and villages.
I think everybody wins in that case, particularly in the case of Cuba. That's in our hemisphere. In fact, when the president made his announcement last week about Cuba, I called a friend of mine, Sue Kelly, over at Kelly Cruises. I go on those tours with them. I said, Sue, you know about travel. Do you know anything about Cuba? She said, we just had a State Department briefing. Here's what they're telling the people in the travel business about travel to Cuba and how that's going to change. In fact, she's going to come on with us after the news, and it's time for the news now. Ryan, thanks for buzzing down here.
No problem.
Ryan Burrow from WGN Radio News and obviously ABC. Kind of doing a travel-themed show here, Steve. What with just the various topics that we've covered in various ways today. And I was actually the other day going to put Sue Kelly on from Kelly Cruises, who I do some commercials for and some travel with, because I was talking to her off the air and I said, well, what does this Cuba policy change in the United States mean for travel to Cuba? And she says, well, quite a few things. And then I was reading on Forbes today, and here's what they say. Just as travel and tourism to Cuba from the United States was heating up, President Trump made an announcement last Friday that cools it down. While it's not exactly a cancellation, what it is at this stage unclear. They have a Cuba expert at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas saying there are a zillion contradictions in the president's policy. For example, American tour operators, cruise ships, and airlines will still technically be able to operate into Cuba, Forbes writes. And the U.S. citizens can still purchase and bring home Cuban products. We can still buy rum and cigars. Both of these were off limits before the Obama administration relaxed the rules in 2014. But the new policies put in place two important restrictions. Number one, it makes it illegal for Americans to patronize facilities related to the Cuban military. You cannot patronize facilities related to the Cuban military. And it makes individual travel to Cuba far more difficult for Americans. Currently, that's through a program known as People to People. This military thing is interesting because the Cuban military runs the state tourism business. So the military is, in essence, the people that are running the hotels there. According to Forbes, Americans will not be allowed to stay in Cuban hotels, take Cuban buses, or rent cars in Cuba because that's related to the military. And our new policy is we will not do anything related to the military. And get a load of this. While the cutbacks on individual tourism will mean that Cuba's growing network of homestays will take a hit too, Airbnb says that 560,000 guests have paid some $40 million to private hosts around Cuba since the company entered the market in April of 2015. This is a country where they say the average monthly wage is $30. This year, Cuba has been Airbnb's ninth largest market for Americans heading abroad. Sue, I guess I'm not telling you anything you don't know or haven't already heard a little bit about, huh?
Yes, yes. There's so much that remains to be seen here. There's so many questions that are unanswered. The way that we're trying to take this right now, John, and by the way, thanks for having me on.
Sue Kelly from Kelly Cruises. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, this is what they call a policy memorandum. So this isn't the final, this is what our president has written and what he wants. But the actual policy itself will come from the Treasury and the Commerce Departments, and they will begin issuing the regulations within 30 days. It will probably take a minimum of 90 days before we see how this really, what the rule of,
I see,
you know, what the letter of the law is really going to be.
So, what about, go ahead, keep going.
You know, I think we're, for passengers on cruise ships that were worried all of a sudden that this, you know, their ship isn't going to go to Cuba and they booked the trip for that, I think that that those trips are going to be okay. We don't see that those are going to be directly impacted. Anything that, whether it's a cruise ship or a land, you know, a tour operator that had licensed people-to-people tours, those we don't see as being directly impacted. Where I think it gets a little dicey and a little questionable is for independent travel. You know, what is it going to mean to the person that just gets on a flight and flies to Cuba, you know, books
wants
a
to do it on their own,
wander around. Yes, be an independent traveler.
But aren't those people supposed to have guides? Aren't they supposed to be in the company of a Cuban official?
They are, but what had really been happening was that had become very relaxed, kind of a don't ask, don't tell policy was beginning to emerge, and I think that's what they're clamping down on, right, wrong, or otherwise, that, you know, that seems to be the
target. What do they care if I wander around Cuba? If I'm wandering around Cuba on my own, I might just buy a meal or pick up a souvenir. That would be good for them.
You would think. So... That's why before we jump to all conclusions, I will be curious to see how this really shakes out. And I agree, you know, things like B&B, Airbnb, things that I had a client today that said, well, what about, I just want to get my own guide when I get off the ship. I don't want to do a group. I want to be
right
on my own.
Yeah, I understand that.
And those are the kinds of questions that still, you know, we just don't know.
Okay, but if I were to take the president's policy at its word, that would be difficult or impossible. But you're saying that when it goes through Commerce and Treasury, it might be a watered-down version of that. It might not be as obstructionist.
Right. We don't know what they're going to tweak here. We don't know what they're, you know, we don't know how, what the president's policy memorandum and what the final draft will look like. We don't know if they will be exactly the same.
What about this, Sue? I heard that you're supposed to take notes about where you go and what you do. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So, and this holds true even for cruise passengers. Our advice to cruise passengers, minimum 5 years is you hold on to all of your documentation.
When I come back to the United States, you're kidding. I can't hold on to anything for 5 years. Are you kidding?
No, John.
I don't know where my keys are.
I am so with you on that. But the government is saying that they can audit this. And I don't, again, we don't really know what the full implications of that are. But, you know, our professional advice is, they say a minimum of 5 years, I would say 6, hold on to everything from that trip, you know, just a big file folder of all of your receipts. What did you do on those days when you were in Cuba? Jot it down.
This is
what they're looking
if
for.
If I may, Sue, I'm just mystified by that because, A, I am incapable of it, and B, who wants that? Is that our government asking us to keep a record of our travels in Cuba for five years? And what would the purpose of that be? In case we were spying or doing something illegal, there would be documents for that? Is that the idea behind that?
John, I really can't even begin to answer that.
You know, but you can't tell me because there's people listening on the other line and you have...
No, I don't think
you've been given information?
I think it's just... I think it has to do with they want to be able to make sure that the policies that they're putting in place are followed.
Okay.
And, you know, being a... I don't know what auditing someone's travel plans really mean, but we also, you know, it's our job as your travel counselor and your advisor to give you the best possible information based on what the government is telling you.
Well, I would do it. I mean, fine. Then go ahead and keep the records and blah, blah, blah. But what are you saying about travel to Cuba? I mean, to me, that sounds very exotic, very interesting, very fun.
Here's what I would say. For those that are looking for a bucket list type of experience, they want to put their, you know, put their feet on Cuban soil. You know, the cruise ship experience with a couple of different ports is a great option. You know, they'll have excursions, they'll have things for you to do, and you will have that. You'll see the best of, you know, the best of what is available right now, and we're talking about a very small island where travel and tourism is in its infancy. You know, the lure of the old cars and old Havana and all of that is alluring, but there's not a ton of infrastructure there.
There's not a lot for people to do when they get there. A friend of mine did a group tour, and I remember his commercial, and it was like, we'll tour a cigar factory. And I thought, I guess you will, but I don't know that I really want to do that, but maybe it would be more interesting because that's part of the culture. It's the people. And
it is. And that goes back to that whole people to people, understanding the culture and things like that. Wow. But I also, there's a part of me that says, if you just want to go and be able to say, I have seen it and I have seen what it was like before travel and tourism, before the hotels were built and all of that, I say go for it, you know, but I would probably be a little more conservative in how I traveled there, whether I would maybe look at a tour or look at a short cruise, perhaps. But for those that are thinking of, well, it's going to be like a new experience and going to, the Turks and Caicos or going to Barbados, not quite there yet, John. Not quite there yet by a long shot.
It's 2:47. Sue Kelly's on the line from Kelly Cruises and Tours. Brenda and I are taking one of your trips with a bunch of listeners next spring. I got just a few minutes here, but we're going to do 8 nights on the Mediterranean. We're going in Spain, France, and Italy. What's the highlight? When you describe this trip, what's the stop that you think is most interesting?
Oh, John, one stop? How could I? It's going to be, you know, John, this is our 10th cruise together.
How about that?
Hard to believe. It's our 30th anniversary and our 10th cruise with John Williams and WGN. And it's hard to take this one. This one is a really phenomenal experience. This is the best of the best in terms of the Western Mediterranean, Barcelona, so Spain, and then over to some new places like Sète, Carcassonne, which is where they filmed Robin Hood. Beautiful. And then some favorites like Provence. I mean, John, Provence in the spring with the rolling hills and the lavender fields. And then over to Italy with Portofino. And if you've already been to Florence, then we recommend heading over to Tuscany for the day, and the rolling hills and the wine and the food. It's just, this is really going to be a magnificent trip, and it's on Regent Seven Seas, and it's on their brand new ship, the Seven Seas Explorer.
I just like the boats. I love these stops, but I like the boats. I like being on the boats.
It is. Well, this is the new one, John. This is the Seven Seas Explorer. She's a baby. She just, she was just built and came into sailing last year. But she is, I was on for her inaugural festivities and her christening, and she is She is truly the most magnificent ship I have ever seen in my 20-plus years in this business.
And it's 750 passengers, too, so it's still not gigantic.
No, it is the perfect size. Everything's a suite on board. The smallest suites are 300 square feet and up. Everything has a private balcony. It's all-inclusive with your soft drinks and your alcohol and your gratuities to the staff. And there's free shore excursions because imagine all these fabulous ports. That's a lot of shore excursions. That's all included in the trip. Yeah. And then for those that want air is offered, economy air is $600 a person. So it's a great value, and it has a fabulous spa. It has beautiful pools. It has
Sue, I asked for one thing. I said one thing. I didn't say one hour. I said one thing. All right, Kelly Cruz.
But I'm so excited about this trip and this beautiful ship. And we just, you know what, John? We've always had such a good group of passengers.
We have. It's
been so great.
That's the thing I tell people too a lot. I say when we do these trips, we end up sailing time and again with a lot of people. And then we see him when we get back to the States and we're in Illinois or Chicago because he makes such nice friendships and you just want to spend time with these people. The number's 630-990-1111, Kelly Cruises. Okay, nice talk to you, Sue. I'll see you soon, all right?
Thanks, John. Take good care.
It's 250. This is WGN. Hello.
Hello, John.
Got many things happening here. Watching the situation develop in Belgium. Appears that a potential terrorist attack was thwarted there. So
Thwarted,
yes. We're going to have Congressman Kinzinger on about the tensions with Russia. Russian fighter jet got within 5 feet of a U.S. reconnaissance aircraft.
It seems pretty close.
That's
5 feet.
5 feet. And when you're going, I mean, that reconnaissance aircraft is, you know, that thing's doing 400 or 500 miles an hour. And then, the fighter jet's doing 700 miles an hour, five feet. Very low likelihood of
coincidence.
Accidental.
Yeah, but right. That, a close call not hitting. So thank God for that.
If you can see the eyelashes of the other pilot, you're too close.
That's how you know.
Or read their lips. Because often there are things
exchanged that you'd understand in any language.
I have been told, you know, that scene, of course, from Top Gun, the first scene, you know, where the guys come over each other and they mm-hmm. do gestures to each other. I'm told that is based on reality. It's based on fact.
Oh, no
it's
kidding,
not made
really?
Up, yeah.
By the way, Top Gun, mm-hmm. Tom Cruise flies. Yeah. He was in the plane. The guy that was doing the flying for him, Pekin, Illinois high school graduate.
Oh,
did not know that. That's a little fun fact.
Went to school with my wife, and so that's their claim to fame.
Uh-huh.
Pardon me, but we digress.
Yes. All I know about Pekin High School is it had a culturally offensive nickname for their sports teams until, like, way too recently.
I know. Thank you for not mentioning what that name was.
Yes, thank you. I can't. All right, so that's coming. That's just in the first hour. You don't need to know about anything else. Oh, and the governor's going to speak live tonight, and a bunch of people are going to take him at 6 o'clock tonight to talk about the budget. So it's like a 5-minute speech, we're promising. So we'll play.
How can it be a 5-minute speech? Do you think that's all it is?
That's what we're told. Yes.
5 minutes.
It's a 5-minute address. It's an address. Speech makes it sound longer, right?
Yes, speech does.
Yeah, I would rather go to. I don't know. What do you want to go to? A speech or an address? What sounds more
address
inviting?
Address sounds dignified. You
call
know,
it what it is.
Important.
A plea.
Begging wow. you, please pass my wow. compromise
Judy.
Budget.
Hi, Judy. All right, I'll get out of the way. Judy's here. Yeah, look, Duck. Judy's here.